I have 10 questions having to do with EVA. We don't want elaborate answers because they're, of course, cut into your sleep period. Okay, question number one about EVA-1. How do you feel about your planned second EVA now that you've done the first, especially in terms of time and terrain? Over.
I think that the second EVA will go a little more smoothly with respect to the timeline. It's not as complicated as far as the equipment is concerned. We don't spend as much time moving around with lifts and scientific equipment. It's primarily a geological traverse once the thing has gotten by the first few minutes. And we should be able to build a timeline and hang on to that real well. And we, of course, are again counting on at least a 30-minute extension to the nominal time. So that's the reason we'd like to start early.
Roger, do you feel the terrain will be any problem?
We don't. We had no difficulty at all traversing the terrain. As a matter of fact, we were bouncing along even with the barbells and the Met. Traversing is extremely easy, although we have a rolling landscape and lots of craters to circumnavigate. I believe from looking at the cones, we'll be able to get up there with no trouble at all.
Okay.
I completely concur in that the undulating terrain is just a surprise. It's not that much more difficult.
Roger, Ed. Second question is, would you please describe the rim of doublet, especially the blockiness? Over.
Well, I don't think you'd call doublet a blocky rim. The craters, north and south doublet, of course, are both older craters and have subdued rims. There are some blocks of ejecta at and near the vicinity of the rim, but and if there are a few blocks down inside, for example, we can look at the west wall of South Dublin from here and see a few fairly good-sized rocks, perhaps 3 or 4 feet at the largest. But I really wouldn't call it a blocky rim. It's a fairly well-subdued rim.
Concur, and the biggest blocks we can see on the rim of Dublin correspond to these large ones I pointed out in my TV pan. There are some of that size or maybe a little larger, but the population is minuscule compared with the total rim area of Dublin.
Roger. Third question, how deep is the dip erosion crater?
Not very deep at all. The photographs will show that perhaps only 4 inches at maximum depth.
Okay, and can you describe the lineations and how far out they went, their orientation and direction?
These delineations that I referred to earlier, are you talking about lineations from the dip digit?
The ones that you referred to earlier, Ed.
Okay, they're there, and I saw evidences of them in directions different than the exhaust would cause, but there just simply was not time to look at them. We'll have to look at them tomorrow.
Okay. Next question, on the football samples, were they documented?
Affirmative, they were documented with a stereo pair before, in the case of both samples. And they were taken from the crater, which is located at, let's see, CR1 and 646. They came from the southwest, near the southwest rim of that crater.
Roger, Al. Next question, did you notice any variations in soil mechanics characteristics at various locations where legs or poles were pushed in, such as the solar wind staff, the flag staff, geophone anchors, penetrometer, and so forth?
There's a few places around, primarily fill, or rather throw out from craters, or what are obviously near the rims of craters have a softer, there's a softer material around them than there is just in general. However, that there are so many craters that you find the soft material quite often, but generally on the fresher ones. Along my traverse, rather along the upper geophone line, there are two or three fairly fresh craters along that line that had some quite soft material around them. And it was a matter of sinking in 2, 3, or 4 inches instead of the normal half to three quarters that we're sinking in out here.
Roger, Ed. On the surface features of rocks marked, well, we'd like a description of the surface features of the rocks. If they are marked, variations in rounding, angularity, grain size, size distribution, shape, texture, and color. Over.
Well, you're getting into stuff we're going to have to look at tomorrow. We just barely had time to finish the all stuff and get back. The rocks I see from the cockpit, there are some rounded rocks. I can see two or three that are buried that are that have some rounding on top. I see some angular rocks. As far as granularity, crystal size, et cetera, et cetera, we didn't have time to look at any of that. We'll have to wait till tomorrow.
Okay, this next question probably falls in the same category. I'll read it in case you have anything to say about it, and that is to describe the regolith, the general nature, fragment distribution, fragment shape, variations in texture, color, surface patterns, and firmness.
Okay, we could give a quick one on that. I think we've already done most of it. The regolith is mostly a mouth brown or sometimes looking gray, powdery material, almost like a chalk ground up. It's that thin, that defined grain. There are a few rocks scattered around the population, less than 1%, ranging in size from 5 to 6, well, I guess 2 or 3 centimeters, but the ones that are obvious that aren't buried are 5 or 6 centimeters. Up to the largest ones that I've seen are the ones I showed you in the pan, which are 3 or 4 or 5 feet across. The distribution is less than 1%, but you see a few of these blocks sitting all around the landscape as far as you can see, and I guess they're even out over toward Dublin, which we didn't say was blocky, but these smaller ones might not be visible at that distance.
Okay, did you notice any variations in the color or surface patterns or texture?
It looks all about the same as far as the general regolith here is concerned. But again, we haven't looked at it that carefully, or I didn't look at it that carefully, just because of the press of time. By and large, it is all this very fine grain material with a few scattered rocks on top of it. Let's see if we can do a better job of describing it tomorrow for you.
Roger. How abundant was glass?
The place I thought I saw glass, and I didn't have time to confirm it, was in a very small crater along the thumper line. It looked like there was pools, a little pool of glass at the bottom, and this crater was only about 2 foot across and maybe 8 inches deep. It was had quite a bit of a small chunky material in it, but it had a different color and looked very glassy at the bottom. And I didn't have time to go back and look at it, but I'm sure there's some more of that around.
Sure. Last question is, how abundant were fillets? Do those by the limb appear to be disturbed by the dips? Over.
I think we find some fillets. I don't know whether the percentage is as high as 50% or not of the surface rocks, but yes, there is some filleting, and you'll notice in the small football-sized rocks, there is a fillet pattern around them. There is filleting here, of course, fairly close to the limb, and it's hard to tell whether it's natural or whether it's from the limb exhaust.